Crunch Time.
Crunch Time.
You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Crunch Time.
Crunch Time.
That's right, Kansas City. You are listening to Crunch Time on a Wednesday, a beautiful Wednesday right here in Kansas City.
About time.
Frank?
About time.
You telling my
secrets?
Seen
you in a month.
Telling my secrets? I had a bunch of homeless people camped in my backyard.
Did you?
Yeah.
Figures.
And they moved over there and were hanging out in there because you told them I was
They're
out of
squatting.
Town. They were squatting over there. They said, it's my land.
That's it.
You weren't around. You've been gone.
I know.
Listen, hey, it's a great day. We appreciate y'all listening in right here at 810 WHB. And don't forget our great sponsors from CBD American Shaman. 30% off right now at all stores. Frank's going to talk about the Wellness Center, which is outstanding. But I like to talk about our good old storefront stores where you can go in there and get some great water solubles. Hey, give me some anti-inflammatory cream. How about a couple gummies? How about some of that delicious cheese popcorn with a little bit of CBD hemp spread on it? Really good stuff. And funny, I was looking through my articles that I always look through to see if there's any news, and there's a great story on CBD American Shaman. And this is from Wisconsin. It's not even from Kansas City. That not all CBD is created equal. And when they talk about the CBD and the hemp products from American Shaman, they are the best. And this article is from a reputable newspaper in Wisconsin. It's talking about, hey, if you're looking for the best stuff, we're not, like Lou Holtz said, men, I'll never lie to you, I'll never con you. We're not trying to lie to you. We're not trying to con you. You have pain. You have issues, anxiety with sleep, with a little bit more energy in the mornings. They got a product for you.
Yeah.
Golf.
CBG.
Golf.
Let's go.
Everybody's out there golfing or running. I see these people running. And some of you people out there running, God bless you, but your technique sucks. All right?
You're listen to you there,
I said God bless him, but, it looks painful. So, put some CBD on after that 3-mile run. I know. And Frank, who walks about 10 miles a day.
Just six.
6 miles a day. He takes baths in that CBD.
That's right. I just added weight to my backpack, too, by the way.
That's right.
So another month.
So tell us about the Wellness Center. What's going on
over there? Yeah, Shamans Leave with Total Wellness. We've talked about it a lot. You know that. 117th and Row in Camelot Court, right there with Joe's and Hen House, the CVS. It's on the north side between Leawood Fine Arts and Arbor Nails. Talk about it all the time. Give them a call and see what they can do for you. They're open 7 days a week. You tell them what's ailing you, they'll tell you a way to cure that stuff. 913-227-9510. 913-227-9510. They have IV nutrient therapy, medical aesthetics, green leaf probiotics. They got all kinds of great stuff there. So Shamans Leawood Total Wellness, 117th and Row, 913-227-9510. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 6, Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday and Sunday.
So 30% off right now. Pop into an American Shaman store. If you're driving around, you're probably close to one. Jump in there and say that Grunny and Frank sent you from Crunch Time. And they'll give you 30% off. Frank, you made a great point a couple weeks ago. We were talking a little bit about this going virtual. Everybody's
NFL.
Going virtual. Well, it's happening. You are way. That's what with age comes so much knowledge. And as
just
old as you
you're
are,
back for one
you
day,
are really
don't
smart.
Start,
you are okay. The smartest guy I know. As old as you are,
yeah, right.
So as of right now, 5 teams have said, you know what, we are going all virtual, and that is it in the offseason. Now, that doesn't mean they won't come back for a mini camp. That doesn't mean they won't come back for, some kind of team function, but they are doing all of their OTAs and all their meetings and all their installation and all the stuff that they do in the offseason virtual. The Denver Broncos, the Seattle Seahawks, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Detroit Lions, and the New England Patriots.
Oh, wow. Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Got him off the hook, huh?
So their message is, hey, listen, the coronavirus still remains a threat, and you know we're better off if we're doing this stuff from home, and we could find places to work out at, and we could find different things to do to get ourselves in shape. And the other message is, listen, we felt like last year that we got some work done in a virtual off season, that most of the teams that did the virtual off season said it was a pretty good success. And they said that, you know, the quality of play wasn't, you know, that bad. It was just as good with a virtual offseason than with everybody being in. Now, I take that to task a little bit, Frank. I thought really throughout the first half of the season and really throughout the season that a lot of the techniques were kind of crappy. And you saw
right.
that, especially.
But a normal NFL fan is not going to see that. All they're going to see is results.
But what they
my team did this. Or my team didn't do that.
What they did see was a lot of yellow flags.
Yeah,
there
did.
Was a lot of flags, especially early. I mean, it slowed the game down. And, you know, for prime example, you know, you watch a young offensive lineman and you're pass blocking and a guy gets outside of your body. And the natural tendency is a tug, right? Bring him back to you. Well, you're taught through technique is once a guy, maybe you're a little top heavy, you're bending, guy's getting away from you. You know, you don't want to tug, you want to push. Get them off balance, kind of get them off. If you push, you'll never get that flag. But most of the guys are just, and this is just one of many, many examples you could bring up, where guys, you know, all of a sudden you see that jersey being pulled, they're going to throw a flag every time.
Right.
And there was a lot of that. You know, the old push and pull technique stuff that we used to work all the time in OTAs. They didn't do that. So some of the younger guys, they do some of that stuff in college, but you forget. Frank, you forget.
Sure you do.
So
plus, the NFL is way different. You're playing against way different players.
A little bit faster.
Week in, week out, they're better athletes.
So technique suffered, I thought, a little bit. But the quality of play, Frank, according to everybody else, all the analytics was just as good.
Yeah, so, you know, if you really look at the analytics, it probably isn't quite as good. But as far as they got the whole season in, had very few disruptions very early in the season. Then they had virtually no interruptions the rest of the season. They had stuff built in for that, didn't have to really use it, which was great. So let me tell you something from a standpoint of, okay, the NFLPA says we don't want in-person OTAs. Okay, we want to do this virtually. All of the players, and you're going to talk about this specifically, virtually all of the players have written into their contracts off-season workouts, and they get bonuses for X amount of off-season workouts. If you're there for 80% of them or 90%, I don't even know what it is.
It's hidden money.
Right.
It's easy money. It doesn't count.
Right. So you go to virtual, and they talk about installations and techniques. Can you do that and still pick up a bonus virtually? Can you be standing in front of your computer and the coach is showing you a technique and then you show him that you are working on that technique somehow? Or is this strictly guys sitting in front of their computer, just sitting there, and they're going back and forth with coach, and coach is trying to explain what he wants you to do during the offseason. But you're not actually showing him the work.
No, you're not. I mean, and you're supposed to. we'll talk to Liam about this a little bit when he comes on. You know, the whole Zoom thing is, you know, and a lot of these coaches, okay, here's what you do. You go and you get in your stance in front of a mirror, and you take that pass set, or
yeah,
you do
right.
this. You know, you look in the mirror and see if your hands are in the right spot and all that kind of stuff. That ain't happening. So what, and you bring up a great point, Frank. So here's the deal. And I was on Sorrent's show yesterday, and he was talking a little bit about how, you know, the union was proactive. They said, hey, listen, we're going to tell our guys that they don't have to go in. We're going to tell our guys that, you know, we'd rather than not go in because of the different, you know, coronavirus is one of the things. Or the other thing is guys.
They don't want to. They just don't want to do it.
They feel like they can get their stuff done because they did it last year. They can do it this year. Well, a lot of them forget that they have bonuses. And the NFL owners are not going to give you a bonus because you're sitting in front of your Zoom computer virtually.
Well, they're going to try.
Yeah, they're going to, but they're going to try. But check it out. So that's why the union has said, and this was kind of the message yesterday, the union was saying, no, we're not going to do it. Now the union say, we will not push teams to do this virtual
stuff. It'll be an individual team.
It's individual team or individual guy maybe even.
Right. But I think that might, and I just thought about this a couple minutes ago, that might be the coach going to the owner and saying, look, looks like they want to go virtual again, and we didn't really lose a whole lot by going virtual last season. Do we want to go virtual again and still pay them their bonuses so they're not going to be out there?
Right, they are not going to pay those guys for being – I promise you they're not going to pay those guys.
All right, then the owners go to the head coach. We want virtual workouts because we don't want to pay them. Is that the other side of it?
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden you got the yin and yang of this thing, and now if you have the owners going down and say, don't let them come in.
I'll tell you
how
much
the NFLPA says that.
It's a drop in the bucket, but you're right. I mean, that's a possibility.
It's 100,000. How much did you get when you got?
No,
how much did you get for off-season workouts?
Frank, you know, when you do your homework like I do, all right, I have the numbers here for the teams, the big numbers, including the Kansas City Chiefs, Frank. You know, that you taught me this back in the old days when we were at the levee. Do your homework.
You never heard one thing I told you at the levee.
Okay,
I'll guarantee
you
that.
So players have workout bonuses, right? Buffalo Bills have 28 players that have a workout bonus for a total of $3 million. So I don't know what that breaks down to. That's your kind of gray matter stuff. The Packers have 19 players with $5 million. That's a little bit better.
Yeah, that's there.
All right. And then the gosh, I can't even read my stuff right here. And then our Kansas City Chiefs have 25 players for $3 million.
Okay.
And that's just the ones that they talked about and they had in this article. So there's probably other people. So if you're one of those 25 guys with Kansas City Chiefs and you say, listen, I want to go and work out in the facility and get my workout bonus, is it kind of like, Frank, and this is what I just kind of popped into this brain, which is scary, is it kind of like the kids are saying, yeah, I want to go back to class, and then the kids said, I'm not going to get back to class. I'm going to sit at home and do it virtually and do it on Zoom. So will you have a section of your team that comes in and says, yeah, I'll be in the facility, and I'll work out, and I'll go to the meetings, and then you'll have, you know, the other kids that are sitting there watching it virtually. It'll be just like, you know, high school or grade school where, you know, half the class is, you know, doing it virtually and half the class is
at
in.
Home?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's in the classroom. Well, you better have good locker room leadership at that point. Because if you're Patrick Mahomes or you're Tyrann Mathieu or you're Chris Jones, you're going, look, guys, we got beat in the Super Bowl 31-9. Okay, we got the crap kicked out of us, all right? A lot of reasons for that. Not going to go through that again. A lot of it has to do with the offensive tackle position. We're going to talk to Liam Eichelberg from Notre Dame coming up here in our next segment. He is on the draft board as we speak as one of the offensive linemen. Maybe could end up being the offensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. We don't know. We're going to talk to him about his workouts and stuff. But you got to believe that we've got to be together on this. If you're not going to go to the stadium to work out and you're going to do this on Zoom, you better be working out at home.
You better have
a trainer, because we got another goal. Three years in a row, let's go to the Super Bowl and let's get it back. Let's get the Super Bowl back. We won one, we lost one, let's go back. Nobody's ever gone back to back to back three times.
Well, so. I think the other thing is too, Frank, is I think the union couldn't mandate guys not going, because there's some teams that probably say, listen, we want to go. And let's say, okay, let's say Patrick Mahomes gets a phone call and it's Andy Reid. And he says, hey, Patrick, come on over here. Yeah, I'm sitting here in my...
Wait a minute. No. We're going to do it by virtual. Get on your computer.
All right. Okay. He's doing it virtually. But he says, hey, listen, let's talk. What do you want to do with this thing? You know what Patrick Mahomes is going to say? He's going to say, I'm going to back my teammates, whatever they want to do.
Exactly,
I may
right.
want to, you know, be in the workout facility. And quarterbacks want to throw the ball to guys. That's what they do. But if Chris Jones and Frank Clark and you know, Tyrann Mathieu, whoever says, listen, guys, we don't want to do that. I want to be able to work out at EOX or Exos in Phoenix, or I want to be working out down in Jacksonville with my trainer, or I want to be, you know, doing some stuff in Cali or down in Florida where all these facilities are, these unbelievable facilities that are not built for these NFL
yeah.
players in the offseason where they could do all that stuff. They have nutrition there. They have the video conferencing there. They have workout trainers there. They have trainers there. They have everything that you need in these facilities. So these guys are saying, okay, so Yeah, I don't want to go to Kansas City. I'm Steve Bono. I don't want to go to Kansas City because I like the food
like the
in San Francisco.
Yeah, I like the restaurants in Kansas.
So I'm going to stay. Remember how he got crucified for that?
Oh, gosh, yes, he did.
Now he'd be Vogue. He's just saying, hey, I want to be here. Hey.
He'd never been in Vogue, okay?
Yeah. So it's just weird how that works. And listen, I was guilty, Frank, because I'm from that old thought pattern that, hey, this is when teams are made in the summer and camaraderie is built. And I was kind of PO'd at some of the guys when they didn't. In the last 4 or 5 years, there's some guys that didn't come in and do OTAs. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Why is your time more important than my time?
Yeah.
That's gone.
Plus, you got to run out on Sundays together.
It's gone.
And all of a sudden, you're like, hey, do I trust the guy beside me because he didn't go to OTAs and I did? And was he really working out or wasn't he? So that's what you really got to worry about, too. And listen, here's the other thing. You have two guys, Lewis Nang and LDT. Okay, they didn't play last year at all. And Yang hasn't played for almost 2 years. Hasn't played for 2 years. And all of a sudden, you're counting on these guys
I know.
Block for your $500 million quarterback. And then the rookies are coming in. You're probably going to have an offensive lineman or two from the draft. Okay. And all those rookies, none of them have played in the NFL before. None of them know about the speed. None of them know about anything. None of them know about the workout routine. Doing this now as a job, it's not you're in classroom sometimes going to school, and then you're out on X amount of hours that you can spend a week playing football, and then that's it. This is 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
It's your job.
And get your mind right about what does it take to be an NFL player. What's it take in a locker room? These guys, you mean you're not? I'm not going to meet any of these guys until, they're not going to, will they go to St. Joe?
So happened last
they
year?
May or may not go to St. Joe.
I don't think they're going to
St. Joe. No, they're not going to go to St. Joe.
But the deal is, virtual stuff.
And then all of a sudden, they meet him for the first time when they arrive at Arrowhead the first day of preseason practice. You're going to be so far behind.
So what happened kind of last year, we all thought that the Chiefs had a big advantage because they had all their starters coming back, which I think they did.
Oh, they did. I think so,
I think, to be the devil's advocate here, I mean, they said, the game was just as good, even though guys weren't around. But here's the thing, Frank. Schools are doing it now. So with every crisis, there's adaptations, right? With every crisis, technology or smart people figure out ways to succeed or do something different to get around the virus or get through. I mean, the crisis, like with this virus. So what happened? These Zoom meetings with schools, and then listen, these corporations all over this country. There, nobody's in the offices anymore right now.
Yeah,
they're not there. My daughter just took a job, and they're not going in their office until September. She was all ready to go in June. Graduating, go in June, and when she gets back, they're going to be in the office 3 days a week, and they're going to be at home 2 days a week. When they go in the one day, they're going to get their assignments, and then they're going to go home, and they're going to work for two or three days, and then they're going to come back and show what they did. So what's the difference?
In on Monday and Friday.
Yeah.
Out Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Well, yeah, what's the difference? These guys, okay, here's your assignment. This is what you need to do. Go do it. You're a professional.
Way different. Playing a physical game. A physical game, like for any sport, for all practical purposes.
Yeah.
I hear you. Because guys, sometimes, it's too hard today. I don't think so.
I have been paying Dave, my boy Dave, results for many, many years because I can't get myself to do 15 reps. I only do 10. And I just can't do it. Because I'm the normal human being. When I don't want to do something, I won't do it.
But if the guy
is standing there saying, hey, listen, you owe me another five, you do it. Because that's why I go to my trainer, because I know personally that I'm too lazy to do it on my own.
But these guys will have their own trainers or whatever. But
to your point,
you just don't
know. If you don't have your own trainer, you're supposed to go and do hang cleans and power cleans. You're supposed to go and squat, 520 pounds 8 times. That's not easy to do on your own. Okay,
no.
I'm going to go put all these plates on, and then, I got really nobody to spot me. Ah, screw that. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Liam Michaelberg about that.
Yeah,
what he's going to do during, he'll get drafted.
Yeah.
He'll know where he's going.
What if he gets drafted to a team that's virtual?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder how he's going to try to handle it.
All right,
or
so
what they're talking
I can't
about.
Wait. This is perfect timing. Yeah. Liam's a great guy. I hope he comes to Kansas City. I think he'd be a great Kansas City Chief. I think he'd be a great offensive tackle for the Chiefs. But he's going to play in the NFL. Listen.
Probably going to go in late in the first round or early in the second round, which is right in the Chiefs' wheelhouse.
While he's been there, McGlinchey, Ron Stanley, Zach and Nick Martin, Quentin Nelson, Alex Bars, and Sam Mustipher were all with him, and they all played in the league.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that he's watched, and he knows how to go about doing it. And there's a couple other guys on this team that I think will also have an opportunity to go and play. All right, Frank, let's take a break. We get back. We'll have Liam. I want to thank our friends from CBD American Shaman. Great, great company. Great Kansas City company. And it's 30% off right now at all their stores. You're driving around, you look over, you see the feather. Remember, life is better
with a feather.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bowe. I want to thank our great friends with CBD American Shaman for sponsoring the show. Remember, 30% off right now. All great products at CBD American Shaman. And with that in mind, we bring on a great guy first, and then a great football player second. Liam, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good now. You could tell everybody that I really helped you with your pass sets as we were on some island in the middle of Florida and Captiva somewhere as we were working on pass sets with a beer in our hand.
You know, you definitely helped me a lot. I appreciate it.
So, Liam, by the way, congratulations on the whole draft process. And so kind of walk us through what this has been like. First of all, for everybody, Liam Eichelbrenner, he's...
Eichelberg.
Eichelberg, jeez.
You'll get it, Tim.
No, I was thinking of Eichelbrenner, your buddy, for some reason.
You're right.
First team, Walter Camp. First team, Sporting News. First team... FWAA All-American, and all kinds of great awards. But once again, Liam's just a great, great guy. But Liam, talk to us a little bit about the process. So the season ended. You guys finished up with a playoff berth again and lost Alabama, a great football team. But after that, what did you start doing? Did you start going working out? Kind of walk us through the kind of outline of what you've been doing.
Yeah, so we ended up losing to Bama, and then I came back to South Bend for a couple of days. Then I actually headed out to Phoenix and trained at a facility called Exos. I was out there for a couple months, you know, getting ready for pro day, working on my numbers, getting my body in great shape. And then, you know, got back here, had pro day. It was a little bit longer than expected, you know, because there's no combine this year. And then I've just been here. I actually just got over COVID, so I'm feeling good now, and I'm just working out at Notre Dame up until the draft, and then I'll head home to Cleveland.
So how was your pro day? I mean, going through all that with all the coaches watching, I know you guys did a little bit of that when you guys were at Notre Dame. You had your testing and your workouts and all that kind of stuff, but what was it like walking down the field with all the NFL executives and scouts out there watching?
Yeah, it was great. You know, it was something I've been waiting for, you know, 5 years, and even back in high school, I've been waiting for this. So it was a great opportunity. You know, Notre Dame did a good job dealing with everything with COVID. You know, I did end up getting sick, but I really don't think it was from pro day. But, yeah, it was awesome, you know, seeing those scouts, you know, shaking their hands, looking them in the eyes. And, you know, it was a great opportunity that, you know, Notre Dame put together for us.
Yeah, let's talk about Notre Dame a little bit. You know, Penn State's known as linebacker U. Notre Dame now known as offensive lineman U. What is the secret at Notre Dame, or is it just coaching? Is it the players? Is it being able to coach some guys up? I know you get some great athletes there. What is it about Notre Dame and you know, their offensive linemen?
Yeah, I think it's just the it's the type of guys we bring in. You know, it's guys that have a high care factor and, you know, work hard. And I think when you have those two things, I think, you know, success is going to happen. You know, for me, you know, coming in the NFL this year, you know, it's not about getting drafted. It's about playing for a long time and having a long career. You know, we've had guys that have gone the first round and then guys who have, you know, ended up being undrafted free agents. You know, they're successful in the NFL. So I really don't think anything will change for me and the guys that are coming out this year. It's a special place in Notre Dame.
We're talking to Liam Eichelberg, Notre Dame offensive tackle. Projected to be a late first round, early second round pick, could end up with the Kansas City Chiefs. We don't know at the moment. What are the pro scouts telling you, pros and cons about your ability at the offensive line at the NFL level?
Yeah, you know, I've had a bunch of teams, you know, they've asked me if I can play tackle, but also if I can play inside, play guard. So, you know, for me, it's just being versatile and being able to play anywhere on the field. You know, if they need me to snap the ball, I'll snap the ball. But at the end of the day, you know, I play hard, I finish, and, you know, I'm a prick on the field. So I think those are in my favor.
Where would you feel most comfortable coming into an NFL camp, guard or tackle?
I mean, I would play wherever a team needs me. You know, I played a lot of reps at tackle at Notre Dame, so obviously tackle would be a easier transition for me into the NFL.
Liam, one of the things that's kind of bouncing around right now, there's about five or six teams that said, listen, we're going to go all virtual. And I know that was one of the things you guys did last year at Notre Dame. You guys did your Zoom meetings and did your kind of workouts on your own and didn't really have coaches around at times when you guys were going through drills and stuff. But so talk to us about that process. And now that you've gone through it one time on the college level, you may have to go through it on the pro level. How was that Zoom process? How were you able to get through that Zoom process? And do you think that that'll hamper or hurt a little bit of kind of picking up the systems that you're going to have to go to in a team? Let's face it, Notre Dame, you were in 4 years. You kind of knew that system already, so you really didn't have to learn particularly anything new. But if you go to a team maybe like the Kansas City Chiefs and have to learn the offense Zoom-wise, so what was it like to do that Zoom stuff? And, you know, and is that a prospect or something you're concerned about maybe having to do again?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would say, you know, heading into my rookie year, you know, not having minicamp or whatever it's going to be, I think that's going to, you know, affect everything. But, you know, I've done it before. You know, I had an offseason at Notre Dame where we did Zoom. And honestly, you know, I think it gives you a better opportunity to learn the playbook. You know, you're not going to have walkthroughs, but, you know, you're going to be able to sit down and watch the film and understand the protection at a deeper level in the run game as well. So I think it'll be good. It'll be just a little bit of an adjustment, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Yeah, and I think the deal is you guys coming out after going through the Zoom situation is really going to help you as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, having some experience in the past, I think it'll definitely help.
Liam, the one thing that I kind of noticed a little bit, not only from the rookies or the young guys in the NFL this year, but even some of the older guys, you know, OTAs and off-season workouts and all those things are such a great chance to work on technique and fundamentals and stuff like that. And it seemed like maybe earlier in the year some of the guys were just a little bit off. And when you're off at the offensive line position, that's when those yellow flags come flying out. It seemed like there's a lot of holding calls and a lot of things like that that happened early just because technique was off. How hard is it to work on technique when maybe you're just doing it over Zoom or by yourself?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult. And that's kind of one of the things. If we don't have to report early, I'm probably going to stay at Notre Dame. And, you know, continue to do drills with the guys on the offensive line here that have graduated. I just think, you know, the offensive line position, there's always something that you can work on and improve on. So, you know, heading into my first year in the NFL, I definitely want to be buttoned up and be on top of my game.
And you might know, and you might know a pretty good ex-NFL coach and college coach who could help you out a little bit, and Harry.
Yeah, definitely. If I end up in Kansas City, no doubt.
During pro day or after pro day or since pro day or whatever, what are you hearing? Any teams now? Tim was drafted by Chiefs. Chiefs never even talked to him before they drafted him. Sometimes they call that, you know, they're sort of like misleading information. They don't want other teams to know we're really interested in this guy. We want to grab him before somebody else does. Have you heard from a lot of teams? Has your agent heard from a lot of teams? And have teams talked to you specifically about where they would like to draft you?
No, they really haven't talked about where specifically they want to draft me. You know, I've talked to pretty much every team besides, I want to say the Browns, but I mean, I'm from Cleveland, so I think they have enough on me there. I just think, you know, wherever I get drafted is where I get drafted. At the end of the day, that's not extremely important to me. It's about having a long career and, you know, playing well for that or that club, you know, so I'm excited about it. Like I said before, wherever team needs me, I'll step in there and play.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, and I think you brought up a great point, Liam. We all know you're going to go in the first or second round. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be because you've earned it, and you're a great football player, and more importantly, like I said, a great kid. But you talk about guys like Alex Barrs and Sam Mustipher, both guys, you know, got. I think maybe Alex got drafted. Did he get drafted in the seventh round or later? Are they both free agent guys, and they both started last year.
They're both free agents, yeah.
They both started last year. I mean, it's amazing. They both played really good. So it's not really where you begin. It's where you end. And I think with that kind of attitude, and you just think, listen, I'm going to get on a team, and I'm going to go battle. I'm going to go fight. I know what I'm doing. I know what it takes. And you go out there, and you do it, and you don't pout, and you don't get upset about it, and you just go go do it. Now, once again, I think you're going to be really, really happy once draft day comes around. But I do like your attitude of saying, listen, you know, wherever I go or whatever round I go in or whatever team I go to, I'm going to give them my best, and then they're going to get a great football player.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's the right attitude to have, you know, especially stepping in there as a rookie.
We're talking to Liam Eichelberg, Notre Dame offensive tackle from St. Ignatius High School in Cleveland. I got to ask you this, if this story is true. Did Ohio State offer you a scholarship just after you got out of the eighth grade?
It was actually after my freshman year of high school. I went down there for a camp. I weighed about 245 pounds. Mike Vrabel actually offered me before I took a snap of varsity ball. So, you know, I was very fortunate. And, you know, my parents were excited. I was pretty excited.
Yeah, and so I'm interested. Ohio State's obviously the first one in the door, right, about offering you a scholarship as that young a player who hadn't really played a lot yet. And then you end up at Notre Dame. Having Ohio State offer that early, and it's Ohio State, they're no slouch. They must have been number one on your radar for a while. How'd Notre Dame scoot in there and grab you away?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, growing up in Ohio, I wanted to go to Ohio State. But at the end of the day, you know, it wasn't about the short term. It was about long term. And, you know, Notre Dame had too much to offer. You know, they were producing a lot of great offensive linemen. And then at the same time, you know, it was a great opportunity to go there for academics. So it was something I just couldn't pass up. But, you know, Ohio State has my brother, so they got one of us.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. But then you turn around, your brother – is now an Ohio State Buckeye. You guys don't, I mean, was he recruited by Notre Dame too? Didn't want to go where his brother was, or he just decided to go to Ohio State?
They actually didn't offer him. I think they recruited his class linebacker position a little too much. So I'm excited for him. You know, I'm happy. He was going to go to Boston College and then ended up switching over to Ohio State. So, I mean, he loves it there. He speaks highly of it. So, I'm happy for him.
All right, so with the 31st pick?
31st pick.
With the 31st pick, Liam, the Kansas City Chiefs pick you. What are the Kansas City Chiefs going to get? How excited will you be to block for Patrick Mahomes and play for Andy Reid and Andy Heck, a guy that I played with at Notre Dame, was a Notre Dame guy who played tackle at Notre Dame, who reminds me a lot of you. I mean, he's almost the same size as you are. I mean, he's a big dude and was a really tough, smart football player. So you're drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs. What would it be like to play for us?
Yeah, I think, you know, if they draft me, they're going to get a guy who's on the details, you know, who cares about ball, who loves ball. And at the end of the day, you know, I'll do anything to help a team win. So for me, it's about coming in there, you know, adding value, you know, continuing that culture that they have there. You know, you don't win and get to Super Bowls without having great culture. So for me, it would be a great opportunity to step in there and, you know, help the Kansas City Chiefs win. So, I mean, I would love to go to Kansas City. You know, there's great culture. There's great history.
We'd love to have you. The only negative would be Colin will be calling you too much, I think.
Yeah, stay away from Colin, will you?
I will.
All right. Hey, Liam, thanks so much for coming on, man. We are so excited for you. I know that as it gets closer, you get a little bit more nervous, and it's just a weird deal because, you know, you really have no idea where you're going to live. Somebody else is dictating pretty much where you're going to be, maybe the rest of your life.
You have no choice.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you get picked by somebody and you may spend the rest of your life. Look at me. I grew up in Chicago. I never even knew where Kansas City was. Next thing I know, I've been living here 30 years. So it's an exciting, exciting process, but it is nerve-wracking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a little bit, but I'm excited for it. You know, it'll be great.
Liam, thanks for your time, Liam. Eichelberg, Notre Dame offensive tackle, one of the top prospects on the offensive line out of offensive lineman you at Notre Dame.
That's
and
right.
You know, a lot of great history before you, and there'll be a lot of great history after you, but we hope to see you here in KC.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Liam, thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it. Yeah, that was Liam Eichelberg.
Yep.
And of course,
he played with your son, Colin.
He played with Colin.
We want to thank Colin for getting us hooked up with Liam.
Yeah,
that's great.
One of his good buddies. And yeah.
Colin wound up playing for 2 years at the University of Kansas right down the street.
Yes, he will.
Yep. He's in the transfer portal, went out. He's going to get his MBA, and he's going to go on with life from there.
Very much enjoying being a Jayhawk right now. Love getting his MBA. He's a big fan of Coach EJ, and we'll see if that's going to be his coach. You know, Coach Grimes, his new offensive line coach, really likes him. Coach Urkel did a hell of a job recruiting him, and I think they have they're working hard over there. Whether that equates in the victories, we'll see. We'll see, but they are doing a lot of hard work, and it's been really fun to hear have him. You know what? When your son's happy and you know he's excited about playing, and he has a prospect of playing, they're just different. Their voices are different. They're excited about it. Now, let's see, he played at Notre Dame, which is an elite football program, and played a bunch, played over 100 snaps at Notre Dame, but you know, went a starter, and he's fighting for a starting spot, and you know, hopefully that'll work out for him. But he's having a great time, so. Very, very happy for him and very happy for Liam. He's a great, great kid. If he comes to Kansas City, I'm telling you guys, we're getting a great one. Just like we have a great company, CBD American Shaman, which is a Kansas City company, 30% off right now at all CBD American Shaman Shores. And we just excited about them being our sponsor, Frank.
Yeah, you bet. And the other thing is a lot shorter drive for you and Sarah.
Yes, it is. And it'll give me
South Bend to Lawrence.
And Frank, and you know what? And I know. And the thing that really I'm happy about, and it gives me an opportunity to do something I really, really love, and that's go back to coaching. I love to coach.
There you are.
Now, I know there's some people out there that say, you know, I'm EAs, you know, they're recruiting and all that kind of stuff. But
don't worry about stuff.
I really and truly enjoy coaching kids and especially high school kids. I tried the college stuff. You know, they're a little bit different as college kids than high school kids. They're all great, but they're different. But I really and truly enjoy coaching high school kids. That's and great. I had the opportunity, say, Friday night, you know, you wake up in the morning, you got a 45-minute drive, you go to the game, and then, hey, listen, you coach a game, and you get in the car, you drive to, you know, down to Oklahoma State, and, you know, get a hotel room, you're ready
it's
to roll.
Bad, yeah,
yeah
almost,
it's not bad
except,
at all.
You know, the only place that'd be a little tough to make is going to be West Virginia. Okay,
yeah.
That was just a little bit longer drive, all right?
I've been there. I'm not going back.
Yeah, I know. You're not going back?
No.
Don't want to go back to West Virginia?
No.
Beautiful hills there around Morgantown.
Heaven,
oh God. Okay.
West Virginia.
Let's take a break. Everything's
Birds
better with
Mountain,
a feather. You're listening to Crunch Time.
All right, Kansas City, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhart and Frank Ball. We appreciate you guys listening in every Wednesday night. Sometimes at 6, sometimes at 7, but always, well, not always, on Wednesday night, but most of the time on Wednesday nights. They shift us around every once in a while. There's a KU basketball game or something going on, but we don't have to worry about that anymore. Not right now. All we have to do is worry about who the Kansas City Chiefs are going to draft. Now, remember, the Kansas City Chiefs had the 31st pick, the 63rd pick, the 94th pick, the 136th pick, 144th pick, 175th pick, 181st pick, and 207th pick. And I believe that they are going to trade up and get rid of some of those picks. But I do think they'll have at least 6 picks. Right now they have 8 picks. They will not have more than 8. They'll have 6 picks. They will trade up. I don't know where they're going to trade up or how they're going to trade up. It just depends on, listen, the draft is such a funny, fickle thing. And if you look at the Chiefs' draft from a 30,000-foot view, they need an offensive lineman, an offensive tackle. They need one.
Badly.
Now, the whole Orlando Brown thing ain't happening. I know people keep saying that, yeah, you know, the Baltimore Ravens are not trading the only piece the Chiefs don't have to keep them out of a Super Bowl. I just don't see it happening. Unless the Chiefs make him an offer they cannot refuse, then I just don't see Orlando Brown being traded to the Chiefs. I just don't see it.
I wouldn't imagine Baltimore trading him to Kansas City.
Why?
It would be just insane.
Why would they do that?
That would be the dumbest thing ever.
Here, take the keys to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
here
sure.
You go.
Goodbye. Here you go.
Yeah, we'll take your.
We'll see you in February.
Yeah, and then you know people are saying they're not even going to give a first round pick.
I know.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. Get rid of some of the money in the salary.
Yeah, I guess it could be. But you know, if you look at it from a 30,000-foot view, there's about 3 or 4 positions that are definitely going to be picked in the draft. Offensive tackle / offensive lineman.
Right. There's about 12 guys who are slated as tackle / guard type guys, okay? I think Liam was talking about it a little bit. They worry about some things with him, short arms. You can address that a little bit. Yeah. There's another guy who's an offensive line prospect who they project could play tackle, but his arms are short. Pass pro, not the greatest, whatever they're saying. Now, he's going to be one of the top linemen pick, but they pick you apart a little bit. But I don't think they'll be able to trade up to get probably one of those top three guys. But anybody from Tavon Jenkins down Jalen Mayfield, Dylan Raddins, Liam, Sam Cosmi, and Alex Leatherwood, they'd be able to get any one of those guys. Although a lot of people think if they don't trade up to go get one of the really top guys, that they'll trade down and one of these guys is going to fall to them and they'll go from that point. Problem with that is, are they reaching a little bit? If they stay at 31 and decide to take one of the guys, maybe five guys are off the board already. Is that reaching for the Chiefs? Well, is that the right thing to do at that position? Where does that leave them at left tackle? Now, we're not out of being able to sign a free agent. Both Okung and Villanueva are both available out there. They know they got the Chiefs over a barrel. They know the Chiefs need an offensive tackle. They're both veteran players. Okung's had some health problems with the blood clotting, which scares you to death. But Villanueva, he's played for the Steelers. He blocked for Big Ben for a long time, who's a statue in the pocket. He wasn't like Patrick Mahomes, who can maneuver around. But he wants a three-year contract. He wants big money. He knows the Chiefs have it because they went after Trent Williams. So he's not going to sit there. That's why neither one signed. They're both waiting to see what the Chiefs going to take either one of us. And if the one guy gets picked by the Chiefs, the other guy will end up signing away with somebody else.
Which is interesting with was it Villanueva, right?
That's, yeah.
Which is interesting with him. That he does want a kind of a longer contract.
He wants a longer term contract. Okung will settle for a 1 year.
All these guys want 1 year contracts because the salary cap is going to skyrocket.
Doesn't,
he doesn't.
Yeah. But he wants big money.
Yeah.
But he wants big money.
But so if there's a run on offensive tackles and three or four of them are picked. Do you want the fifth best tackle at that position? I'm not sure you do. So what do? You look at an edge rusher. You may be able to get the number one or number two edge rusher. There are a couple of kids, a Penn State kid. There's a kid from, I think there's Vanderbilt or something. There's some quality. But we just haven't had a lot of luck with that. Derek, when's the last time we had an edge rusher that we drafted just was a dominant guy other than Derek Thomas? It's been a long time. All right. And then wide receiver. That's another 30,000-foot view. You look at, the Chiefs need a tackle.
They need a tackle.
They can pick an edge rusher. Now, these are all positions they are going to pick in the draft. They are going to get an edge rusher. They're going to get an offensive tackle. They're going to probably get an inside guy.
They need a big wide receiver.
They need a big
target.
Yeah. And you know what? And I've had arguments with Saran about it. He's like, no, they don't want. They cover two, it kills the Chiefs. They're taking away the deep ball. So, the speed
just
guys.
Rewatch the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Man. Slants, hitches, all those things that hurt cover two or take advantage of the space that cover two gives you with speedsters. We don't really have him. We have Travis Kelce, but they bracket him. They're not letting Travis Kelce. Look what happened in the Super Bowl. They put a linebacker on him to beat the crap out of him off the line of scrimmage as long as they possibly could, and then he passed him off to somebody else. So, you got a linebacker. Inside linebacker is another spot that they are definitely going to draft somebody. So I think that, in my own opinion, my own thoughts on the draft, is if there's a run on tackles early, they're not going to take a run. If for some reason the tackles get pushed back, because they're talking about, what is it, like six quarterbacks or five quarterbacks?
Five quarterbacks up early, top 10?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that pushes things down. Now, the cornerbacks are always going to go. Patrick Surtain, some of these other corners, they're going to go. Wide receivers, there's some good wide receivers.
There's some good slot receivers.
Some Alabama and LSU wide receivers are going to come out.
They've got some guys.
So they're going to go. So what will be the first run? Will it be the cornerback wide receiver run or be the offensive lineman run? So if you and that doesn't start with the dude from Orlando, from Oregon. He's going to get picked first. He's going to get picked in the top 6 or 7 picks because he is going to be the first offensive tackle off. But if you start seeing the kid from Northwestern go, the kid from USC go, if you start seeing the kid from Oklahoma State go, you see all those guys go, then the Chiefs are not taking a tackle.
Yeah,
they're going to go with somebody else, probably an edge rusher or wide receiver. But if all of a sudden you see the kid from Oregon go, and then the Northwestern kid doesn't go to 20, then the Chiefs are taking a tackle.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of draft capital to move way up, but they could move some spots. They can move some spots up, maybe to, you know, 26th or 25th, right in that area.
And there and therein lies your theory, which I'm starting to believe in more and more, Frank, that I think that most of the tackles that they are interested in are going to be gone.
Yeah.
So they have some of these picks where they can say, hey, listen, we'll give you – let me go look at this list again. We'll give you the 136th
pick. They're giving 31st, obviously.
And maybe we'll give you the 94th pick and the 176th pick. So we move from the 63rd pick to the 40th pick.
Oh, I see. So you're moving in the second round.
Yeah, the second round to go get a tackle because there will be some. There's about eight tackles, including a kid from Florida. What's his name? Stone Forsythe, who's 6'8".
Yep.
There's some tackles that are out there that are going to fall into the second round. Now, whether they're starting tackles remains to be seen. But remember, guys, remember this. We're talking about a kid in Niang who everybody wants to start, and he hadn't played in 2 years.
LDT took and off.
Was he a first-round draft choice?
No.
No. All right? So we got a guy we could take in a second round if you move up and get a quality tackle who's got a just as good of a chance of starting as a kid that hasn't been around. Right. He wasn't here last year. Somebody's like, well, he's in his second year. No, he's not. He wasn't here. All right? So, listen, I'm rooting for the kid. I'm not a Niang hater. I'm just talking common sense
you're talking
here.
Talking football. That's all you're doing.
It's just common sense.
You know.
Guy hasn't been around. So, I mean, he may know the offense a little bit better, but.
Yeah, I just think this thing for me is critical. Your most important asset on a team's quarterback. So, therefore, some of your other very important assets should be the guys who protect them. And without having a left tackle, without really having either tackle for, I mean, you've got offensive linemen, I know, but without having either guy right now that you can really trust to protect your most valuable asset, it's such an incomplete offseason right now.
Frank, if we didn't have a budget here, I'd tell you to drop the mic right now.
There you go.
Because that was good. You're exactly right.
That's right.
That is a drop the mic statement.
They got to get it done. I'd much rather see a
Don't break it. We can't afford to fix it.
That's true. I can't drop the mic.
Don't drop the mic.
Okay, well. We could rub some Shaman topical on
it. Wait, there you go. We'll take the swelling out of
that
there.
Was, huh?
That's good.
There you go, but it'll transition for you.
I want to thank Liam.
Yeah, Liam Eichelberg, University of Notre Dame offensive tackle, who will be a high draft choice to either play tackle or guard in the NFL. We'll have to see what happens then. But yeah, he sounds like the kind of kid you'd like to have on your team.
Yeah, there's a couple kids from Notre Dame that are also going to go. Robert Hainsey, who is a played tackle, started every game at Notre Dame, who's going to be moving to center. So he's sliding down to the fifth or sixth round. Could be a guy there also may come here later.
Yeah, they're looking for a center.
Yeah, they will. Yeah,
they need a center.
Yeah.
Chiefs need a center.
Blythe kid, I heard a lot of good things about him, though, just as a person.
I think he's going to start. And I think Tunney and Long will both start as well.
I don't know. I mean,
But I don't want to move either one of those guys to tackle.
No.
They're good where they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm just saying that we got a quality kid coming in Blythe, a really good kid. He's like the first thing he said, hey, how can I help out? What can I do charity-wise, be a part of this community? Love that.
Yep.
That's what it's all about.
Perfect.
All right, Frank.
Glad to have you back.
It's good to be back. It's always good to see your face. You know, when I look at you, it just knowledge just pours out into my pores. That's why it's great. You're listening to
Crunch Time.